Welcome to the November 3rd service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Today, our service is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and her sermon is titled, Attention to Action. The podcast begins with a reading, read by Worship Associate Stephen Henninger.
Today's reading is a poem by Mary Oliver titled Gratitude. What did you notice? The dew snail, the low flying sparrow, the bat on the wind in the dark, big chested geese in the V of sleekest performance, the soft toad patient in the hot sand, the sweet hungry ants. The uproar of mice in the empty house, the tin music of the cricket's body, the blouse of the goldenrod. What did you hear? The thrush greeting the morning, the little bluebirds in their hot box, the salty talk of the wren, and then the deep cup of the hour of silence. What did you admire? The oaks letting down their dark and hairy fruit, the carrot rising in its elongated waist, the onion, sheet after sheet, curved inward to the pale green wand. At the end of summer, the brassy dust, the almost liquid beauty of the flowers, then the ferns, scrawned black by the frost. What astonished you? The swallows making their dip and turn over the water. What would you like to see again? My dog, her energy and exuberance, her willingness, her language beyond all nimbleness of tongue, her recklessness, her loyalty, her sweetness, her strong legs, her curled black lips, her snap. What was most tender? Queen Anne's lace with its parsnip root, the everlasting in its bonnets of wool, the kinks and turns of the Tupelo's body, the tall blank banks of sand, the clam clamped down. What was most wonderful? The sea and its wide shoulders, the sea and its triangles, the sea lying back on its long athlete's spine. What did you think was happening? The green breast of the hummingbird, the eye of the pond, the wet face of the lily, the bright puckered knee of the broken oak, the red tulip of the fox's mouth, the upswing and the downpour, the frayed sleeve of the first snow. So the gods shake us from our sleep.
I love me some Mary Oliver. Raise your hand if you know what a tupelo is. Wow, we had to look it up. It's a tree. Yeah, a swamp tree. Yeah. Black gum. All I can think of is tupelo honey. Mary Oliver's words in answer to the questions, what did you notice? When did you hear? What did you hear? When did you admire? What astonished you? What would you like to see again? What was most tender? What was most wonderful? What did you think was happening? These questions that she answers for herself in the poem is appropriately titled gratitude. Because a gratitude practice requires us to be intentional about noticing, listening, admiring, being astonished. We need to pay attention. And that's the theme for this month in our worship and in our small group ministry. Considering what it means to be a people of attention. And if you've been paying attention, you may have noticed that I've been introducing spiritual exercises in our Sunday services as an encouragement for you to try them yourself. And this poem by Mary Oliver is the basis for one of the choices of spiritual exercises in our Soul Matters packet this month. And it seemed especially appropriate for today's service because the answer to her questions remind us of all there is to love and cherish about the earth, the interdependent web of which we are a part. So here's the exercise. Write your own poem answering these questions. Yeah? You think you could do it? No one's expecting Mary Oliver writing here. So you're invited to spend a few days with the poem. Just read it once a day. Read her answers to the questions. But then you get to decide how to gather the details for your poem. You could go out for a walk in nature and come back and sit down and answer the questions. Or you could sit at the end of the day and think back to the day. What did you notice? Or think back to the last month, or the last year, or even your whole life up to this moment. And then answer these questions. What did you notice? What did you hear? When did you admire? What astonished you? What would you like to see again? What was most tender? What was most wonderful? What did you think was happening? I'm seeing some minds working on those questions right now. Give yourself some time to do it. I think it will help us all feel some gratitude, which is really useful because the end of the month will be Thanksgiving. So when somebody says, let's go around the table and say what we're thankful for, you already have something in mind. But today we are paying special attention not just to all that we love in nature or in our lives, but what is happening to the earth. And so much is happening. I've often heard that anger is a really important and useful emotion because when we feel angry, it's a signal that something is wrong. It's a signal that we need to pay attention and we need to do something. Have you heard that one before? And this past week, as I watched the news footage from California and its raging firestorms, and let us hold in our hearts all those people who are facing the devastation of their homes and their communities. Jamie's home congregation in Santa Rosa, a lot of his friends had to evacuate. As I watched those news reports, I thought, Earth is angry. And just Thursday night, as the winds raged and the rain poured, canceling trick-or-treating for most of our children, some were very hardy, I thought, Earth is angry. All the sound and fury makes me think we ought to be paying attention. Now, I know that one day, or one week, or even one season's weather is not the same as climate. I get that. And I've heard the tiresome tropes as legislators hold up snowballs in Congress and say, "What's all this I hear about global warming?" I know that there's not 100% unanimity in the scientific community that climate change is the result of human activity. Only 97% of climate scientists say it's so. But I really don't care. It's clear that our climate is changing, that the storms are more frequent and damaging, the winds that fuel fires are more frequent and more dangerous, the ice caps are melting, the oceans are warming and rising. And it's also clear to me that those most affected by the results of the climate change are often those least responsible for causing it. These facts are not up for debate. They are real. And many of us, despite the efforts of those who would make us believe otherwise, who, by the way, are the same ones who tried to convince us that smoking was okay for us, most of us are on board. We're paying attention. But that's not enough, is it? We have to move from paying attention to taking action. So how do we do that? I want to take a step back to our reading, Mary Oliver's poem, Gratitude. Because that's where we start, with gratitude. When I first started looking at the climate crisis through a theological lens in seminary, I encountered the work of Joanna Macy and her fabulously titled book, Active Hope: How to Face the Mess We're In Without Going Crazy. She and others have conceived of the work that reconnects, which, and I'll quote from their website, helps people uncover and experience their innate connections with each other and with the systemic self-healing powers of the web of life, so that they may be enlivened and motivated to play their part in creating a sustainable civilization. And they see that work as moving through a spiral that goes through four stages: coming from gratitude, honoring our pain for the world, seeing with new eyes, and going forth. There are probably 7 or 8 chapters just on that spiral, but I'll try to give you a little piece of it. The first 3 steps are all about paying attention to our gratitude, to our pain, and to our connections. The spiral begins with gratitude, our gratitude for the natural world, for the way it sustains us with its beauty and its bounty. Just with that 1/32nd of a sliver. Through gratitude, we can be fully present and move into the second step in the spiral, owning and honoring our pain. Daring to experience it, we learn the true meaning of compassion, to suffer with. We are not alone in our pain, but share it with the rest of creation. Honoring our pain reinforces our connections to the rest of the interconnected web of life, which is the third step in the spiral. Experiencing the reality of our interexistence helps us see with new eyes. Eyes that help us see how we are connected to all people, to all species of animals and plants, and to Earth itself. As people of attention, we can pay attention to what we love of this Earth and feel gratitude for it. We can pay attention to the pain and grief we experience as we recognize the damage being done to Earth that we share, which helps us pay attention to how connected we are to the rest of creation. And from these places of attention, we move into the fourth stage. Go forth into the actions that call each of us according to our situation, gifts, and limitations. With others, whenever possible, we set a target, lay a plan, and step out. So as I considered our theme today and looked back at this spiral, I realized that much of it has to do with paying attention to gratitude, to pain, to interconnections. But the final stage, the going forth, and indeed the whole framework of Macy's work that reconnects, has to do with not going it alone, but connecting, reconnecting, working together. Now, this congregation made a commitment to work together for environmental justice in the spring of 2017 with a vote at their annual meeting. Since then, a small but very committed group of people have worked to create opportunities for UUC to become engaged in the work of environmental justice. And I'd like to acknowledge those who have been working with the environmental justice team from the start by asking them to stand. So I see Bill, and I see Janet, and I see Helen, and I also want to acknowledge Alan Moore, who has done a great amount of work, and Rick Ashley, and am I forgetting a name? All right. Listen to what they've been up to. This team collected your suggestions on ways we could work for the environment on paper water drops during my very first water communion here. They created an electronic resource library for people to use to learn more about environmental concerns. They researched and created a proposal for putting solar panels on the roof and presented that proposal to the board. They sponsored a monthly environmental film series, which included moderated discussions afterward that were attended by people both inside and outside our congregation, including Blacksburg High School students whose teacher gave them extra credit for showing up on a Friday night. And they came. They've been working on renewing our Green Sanctuary recertification. They encouraged us to make promises to Mother Earth with the promise tree last spring. All the while, many of them have been doing their part outside the auspices of UUC, tirelessly working against the Mountain Valley Pipeline by witnessing and speaking against it, and encouraging local restaurants to stop using those plastic straws. Bill, they gave us straws down at Lefty's. You got someplace else to go. They have been busy. Busy, but a little discouraged. Yes? Yes. It's difficult to be a small group trying to pull a much larger group along. This summer, a group of folks sat in Elarth Hall one Saturday to attend an online green living and congregational sustainability workshop sponsored by my colleague, Reverend Andrew Millard in Newport News. We had one who stayed home and participated from his study. It was a great way to gather with people across the world. One of our presenters sent a video from Europe, and people on the call were all the way in Colorado. As we learned about ways different congregations and different faith communities are working to create environmental justice. And in September, a group of about 30 UUC folks gathered on the drill field at Virginia Tech. Raise your hand if you were there. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Got a picture. How many of you have been inspired by the work of Greta Thunberg and other young people who are shouting at us to pay attention? Yes? If I had a screen, I would show you a fabulous video of Greta and a scientist who talks about this amazing machine that sucks carbon from the atmosphere and builds itself. What is it? A tree. Maybe I'll get Lisa to put the link so that you can look at it at home. It's brilliant. Anyway, more recently, several new people have joined the original environmental justice team, and they are adding their voices and their ideas to how we can move forward. Building on the work that's already been done, the environmental justice team is gaining enthusiasm and energy, which is why we are talking about it today. At our last meeting, Kira Nguyen and Sylvie Kuchar-Novak, did I get it right? Yes. Brought the flyer they had created, which you'll find in your order of service. Can I have it? Yeah. We've got some graphics. So I want to call your attention to that one. It's in white. So they brought this to our meeting. And you'll see that it encourages us to call and tweet Congress next week. Raise your hand if you have a Twitter account. I told you there were more than just a couple. All right. So, what's that? Oh, what's a Twitter account? All right. After the service, we'll talk about Twitter. So, I love this climate change keep you up at night on the morning after we fall back. Anyway, they brought this along. And you can see that it is a call for us to call and tweet Congress next week. So they, along with some other members of UUC, have joined the local chapter of the Citizens Climate Lobby. And it's because when you're working against something as big as the climate crisis, you cannot work alone. It helps to join with others. So Ingrid? Yes. Ingrid Manns is here, who with Elena Coppa, I think, is she's... No? Oh, so she's... So Ingrid is here, and she's going to be in Elarth after the service. But I'm going to quote your email to me. Is that all right? All right. This is what she wrote to me about CCL. The heart of what we do is empowering regular people to make their voices heard and take agency in the face of the climate challenge. As a grassroots organization, we act locally to address a global problem. Our chapter is CCL New River Valley, but there are also hundreds of CCL chapters around the U.S. and chapters in Nigeria, Canada, Mexico, Australia, the U.K. We have chapters on every continent besides Antarctica. Talk about working with others. They have connections across the globe. She also writes, all those chapters are advocating for the same thing, a carbon fee and dividend policy. We ask for this because we believe it to be the most significant and effective first policy step to solving climate change. It's kind of complicated. I've been hearing about it for years, and I hope you'll take advantage of Ingrid being here to learn more about it. And someone is coming in December for a Sunday circle, I believe, right?
Yeah, I'm one of those people.
And do you remember the date so I can tell people?
December 15th.
So December 15th. So if you're not ready to tweet yet, come on the 15th for the hour before service in the library and you can learn more. Part of our UUC vision statement reads, we will join with other organizations and faiths to work for just causes. Does the Citizens Climate Lobby seem like an organization we'd like to join with to work for a bipartisan solution to the climate crisis? Ooh, I get yes already. I think we need to take some time. We need to learn and make a real choice. If you're interested in learning more about HR 763 so that you can write a letter, make a phone call or tweet in its support, go to the table in Elarth. If you write a letter today, I think Ingrid is going to Washington, D.C. She will hand deliver your letter so we can save the postage. But speaking of joining with other faiths to work for just causes, you'll find another insert in your order of service. This one is from Virginia Interfaith Power and Light. I love that name. Another reason we're talking about climate crisis today is because we accepted an invitation to participate in Climate in the Pulpits, on the Bima, in the Minbar. I had to look up Bima. It's a platform in a Jewish synagogue. And Minbar is a pulpit in a mosque. Apparently, they've been having these in Maryland for several years, but this year, congregations across Maryland and D.C. participated in September, and at least 55 communities of faith so far in Virginia will be participating in November. I love the idea of us doing the same thing as other people. When I was home in Oregon, I visited my home congregation, which is a United Church of Christ congregational church, and they were celebrating World Communion Day. I have not taken communion in a long time, but the woman sitting next to me looked at me and said, with a glow in her face, "Isn't it wonderful to know that people all over the world are doing this at the same time as we are?" Sadly, we're not doing this on the same day as the other Virginia congregations. They're doing it on the 17th, but I wanted to take advantage of this opportunity to lift up the work that CCL is asking us to do this week. But 55 communities of faith and counting, maybe some of us can encourage our friends to get them involved as well. As we consider the climate crisis, the folks at Virginia Interfaith Power and Light ask us to consider this message. All faith traditions teach the sacred worth of every person and affirm our interdependence with each other and with our natural world. But too often, only some have been able to enjoy nature's abundance, while others have been forced to bear more than their share of our pollution and waste. This is not right. Pollution disproportionately burdens marginalized communities. Yet residents of these communities persist in advocating for their health and environmental quality, demonstrating resilience and power. Makes me think of those folks up in Flint. We must stand with them. They go on. The climate crisis makes our sacred responsibility to address environmental injustice even more urgent. Burning fossil fuels is pouring heat-trapping climate pollution into our atmosphere. And those least responsible for damaging our climate here and around the world are among the first to be suffering the consequences. We must make sure that everyone most impacted, including low-income people, people of color, the vulnerable, and those on the front lines, are part of every solution. This is about justice. If you look at the bottom of, I think it's goldenrod, you'll see there's a place where you can put your name. This is a request that our state legislators create a permanent council on environmental justice. And we'll collect them at the end of the service, and I'll mail them to Richmond, where they will be delivered to our delegates and senators. This is one way we can join with others working for justice. Another way we can act for justice is to join with others on November 18th at Blacksburg Presbyterian Church for a meeting with the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy. UUC has supported VICPP for some time. I remember the day that you all called me to be your minister, VICPP, that's a hard one to say, had an interfaith service in this sanctuary. I stayed and met some of my future colleagues that day. And they also sponsor a lobby day every January at the General Assembly, and I've attended that for the past 6 years. It can be truly inspiring to meet with people from across the Commonwealth, from different faith traditions, who are fueled by their faith to work for justice. As you might imagine, though, people of different faiths may have different legislative priorities. People from more conservative or orthodox faiths might not advocate for some justice issues that we as Unitarian Universalists do champion, particularly around LGBTQ and women's issues. So a group of ministers and lay people are trying to reinvigorate the UU Legislative Ministry Virginia, and Mark Benson and I are going to be meeting virtually with these folks on Wednesday, the day after Election Day. And this is a way we can join with other UUs to work for justice. And we're going out, coming in. If you would like to meet with UUs right here at UUC, come to the Environmental Justice Team meeting on Tuesday, November 18th at 5:30. Building on the work that has already been done, we need to pay attention to actions. Those we can do individually, certainly, like reducing, reusing, and recycling. But more importantly, what we can do together as a congregation. I've been hearing some wonderful ways we might work together. While most of us cannot go sit in a tree to protest the Mountain Valley Pipeline, we can join with those who do sit in trees by supporting their work, giving them supplies and food, places to shower and do laundry, financial support. We could grow edible plants on the grounds. We could decide as a congregation to put those solar panels up on the roof. We could join with other congregations and organizations to complete projects and advocate for change. We could start an environmental grief group for those of us who are grieving what's happening to the planet. If you are intrigued by any of these possibilities, or even better yet, if you have an idea of what we could do together, please join the Environmental Justice Team. And if you can't make the meeting, email one of the people. Actually, if you've been coming to the Environmental Justice Team meeting, stand up so that people know who to talk to. Even if the last one was the first one you attended. Okay? These are some faces of people to whom you can give your good ideas. Thank you. And most importantly, when you hear the call to join in with a project or an action, remember that we can do more together than any of us can do alone. And say yes. Okay? Let's practice. Yes. They always say you have to get people to practice those things before. In the month ahead, as we explore what it means to be a people of attention, I invite you to ground yourself in gratitude, maybe by writing a poem, but really just paying attention to what matters most. And remember to pay attention to action.